First reading is from the book of Isaiah, and as Corey said, it's one of his favorite readings. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, and when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and will say, Here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like the watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail.
That was the, thank you, Bob. That was the reading for Ash Wednesday, actually. My sister-in-law, Barb, reminded me this week in a note on Facebook that when she was a kid in Catholic school, she had a nun say to her once, don't give up chocolate for Lent or something that you like just to sacrifice, but instead, why not do something nice, something good for somebody every day during Lent? That would be your sacrifice, and it'd be a win-win because someone else would benefit from it as well. And I thought, what a perfect reading for Lent is that reading from Isaiah, where we talk about what God really wants in the terms of a sacrifice is to sacrifice our selfishness, to sacrifice our busyness, to sacrifice a little time to help someone else. It's a moment's kindness that is the most crucial part of serving the Lord. So thank you for reading that, Bob. Our gospel reading is most of the sixth chapter of Matthew. I was dwelling in Matthew 6, and I had a very difficult time deciding where to stop reading. So bear with me. It's only 21 verses. If you got a roast in the oven at home, you might want to call and say, hey, turn off the oven. At any rate, Jesus says concerning almsgiving, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, Put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Truly, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. After a reading like that, after reading verbatim the preaching of Jesus, I could probably just get down out of the pulpit now and it would have preached enough. But we have another 25 minutes left before I can legally let you go. A moment's kindness. You like this little guy? Tweenbot. His name is Tweeny. He's a little cardboard robot. It's an experiment by a lady. Her first name was Casey. I can't remember her last name at the moment. But this little guy was her experiment in 2008. She was living in Manhattan and she was marveling at how in such a crowded place, there's one particular gentleman's theory, I can't remember who it was. His theory was that the more stimuli we receive, the more isolated and insular we become, the more we push into ourselves and shut out the world. And I think that's really true. And you see it especially, I think, in cities when people are walking down the road, you know, walking down the street, and there's horns blaring and signs flashing and people everywhere. And I know I do this a lot of time. You just go and go inside yourself and walk, unless you're a tourist. And she thought, what if we found a way to break into that insularness? What if I found a way to encourage people to be kind, to be helpful? I wonder if they would, if it was something completely inconsequential. So she created this little tweenie. Tween means between human and robot. It's all made out of cardboard. It's, you see the little smiley face, so it's non-threatening. She gave it a little round belly, so it'd be cute, and stuck a flag in it. And on the flag is written a destination, and will you please help me get here? That little robot can only go straight forward. It's the only direction it can go. So she took it first to Washington Square in the city of New York, and she dropped it down, she set it down, and it just started moving forward, and she watched what happened. And so, of course, it would come and hit a curb or go underneath a park bench or something like that, and people are walking along through the park trying to get to their next appointment, and sure enough, inevitably, always, somebody would stop, read the flag, and turn the little robot. This little robot made appearances all over New York. And always, always when it got in trouble, somebody helped. In fact, in Washington Square on that day, this is its route. You can't really see it clearly. Maybe this pointer will work. It goes from here, and it jags and jags up here, jags back around up here. Whoops, goes over, and it goes back here. Up, up, whoop, 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 boing, boing. Sometimes it reverses direction, comes back, boom, and it makes it to its destination, which was right there, actually, in New York City. She said that sometimes people actually ran and stopped the robot when they saw it was going into the street. It was going straight, and people grabbed the robot and stopped it so it won't get squished. Well, wouldn't you? Think about it, wouldn't you? This cute little thing, this cute little, I've got to go back to it now. Let's see. It's just too cute. You gotta help that little thing. It's lost in New York City. She took it all over the city. In one case, a guy actually picked up the robot, read the flag, and took it all the way to its destination. You know, women in business suits on their way to their next appointment. Street people. without a dime to their name, messengers on bicycle, hippie kids throwing a frisbee around or playing hacky sack. It didn't matter. Broad cross-section of life that is New York. It didn't matter about race. It didn't matter about age. It didn't matter about socioeconomic background. People helped the little robot, the little tween bot. You can read about it on tweenbot.com if you want to. They even have a couple little videos on there. What does this tell us? A moment of kindness is our natural state. Most human beings, in fact, I would say 99.999999% of human beings, and I've never met that 0.0000001% before, are inherently decent. We're created that way by our God. And the only thing that ever gets in our way of that moment's impulse toward kindness is our busyness and our fears, our anxieties. It's the only thing that can suck us back in. And this is not a modern phenomenon at all. I mean, Isaiah was writing, gosh, almost 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah. And God was speaking to Isaiah about the very same problem. What do I want you to do? I don't want you to give up roasted lamb. They didn't have Lent back then, but they did have sacrifice times. What do I want you to do? I don't need you to take the dove to be sacrificed at the temple. I need you to be decent to each other. I mean, look at the Ten Commandments. What are they? Love me, love everybody else, be good, don't be a jerk. It's pretty much the Ten Commandments. What did Jesus come and say? Said, sum it all up. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And there's some smart aleck that says, who do I have to love? Who's my neighbor? I gotta hate somebody. It's all summed up in that. God appeals to the decency in each and every one of us. And there is decency in each and every one of us. And sometimes things just get in the way. Sometimes we get too busy. There were people that did walk by. There was one case on a hot day in Washington Square Park where the pavement was so hot that one of his little rubber wheels expanded and fell off. And so he went a little ways, but he was going in a circle. And he got dizzy. I'm sure he got dizzy. And these two men who didn't even know each other came over and saw the problem and together retraced what they believed to be Tweenbot's steps, found the little tire, brought it back, puzzled over it, fixed the tire, set him down, and sent him on his way. I don't know if they got fired for being late. But they did the right thing. They had cases where people didn't know where the robot needed to go, didn't know the direction, and would ask a complete stranger. Now, how many New Yorkers will ask a complete stranger anything? They would form little discussion groups of complete strangers saying, you know, like my dad. You ask my dad for directions, you get five different ways to get there. Well, of course, in the old days, we'd hitch up the cattle and you'd get a long-winded story, and there's at least 10 ways to get anywhere you want to go. And so they had these little groups forming of, oh, he could go this way. No, then he's got to cross Broadway. That wouldn't be a good idea. And they would determine the best possible route and set him on their way to get there. Eventually, it got to the point where people would read the flag, help the robot, and then go wait at the destination. The case of the guy who picked up the robot and took him to the destination, there was a crowd of people waiting there that gave him a standing ovation when he arrived with little Tweenybot. This is the inherent goodness that can come out through any random experiment. So, here's the idea. We're going to have a random experiment. What do we got here? About 120 people, 110, 120 people. Let's all be a random experience. I experiment. I want you all to dress in cardboard. Go up to Lyle Avenue. No. Taking notes? Okay. Here's what I want you to do this week. At some point, and maybe do it today if you can, at some point this week, I want you to perform a random act of kindness for someone you absolutely do not know and someone who absolutely has nothing that you need. You know, it could be as simple as paying for the next guy's coffee at the Tim Hortons drive-thru. It could be stopping and helping a little kid who's fallen down, helping someone with their groceries. It could be any number of things. But if in your week you can come across a complete stranger and find some simple way just to help them, a moment of kindness. And what I really want you to do is walk away from it. Just walk away from it. Now, if you try to follow him and see what happens, you could get arrested for stalking. We can't go there. But what we can do in this Lenten season, just like little Tweenbot, we can, first of all, have confidence. Have confidence in the kindness of strangers. Have confidence in the inherent goodness of God's people. And God's people includes all of it. Notice, Jesus says not to pray, "My Father, our Father." The very beginning of the Lord's Prayer tells that every single one of us is a child of God. It's the very first firm statement Jesus makes in that prayer. The first thing we say is, "O God of all of us, O God who is the parent of all of us, O God who longs to be close to each and every one of us." So, your stranger, your brother, your sister, with God as your loving mother, father, Jesus as your loving brother, just do something in a moment for them this week. And trust that what you do will be received and maybe even be inspiration for them to do to someone else, for someone else. If you get caught, if the person, say, in the checkout line says, "Why did you do that?" I urge you to tell them in your own words why you did it. "My stupid pastor, he's got some guy's crazy. I don't know, he came in loaded for bear Sunday morning and just was all over the place. He's a little cardboard robot." Now, in your own words, explain why you wanted to do something kind in one simple moment. And I am willing to bet you will feel and hear and touch and see God in that moment. Can we all do it? Something simple and kind?
Better than the cardboard.
It is better than the cardboard. If, however, Lori, you or anyone else decides to do the cardboard robot on Lyle Avenue, let the record show this church and its leadership are not responsible. A moment's kindness to glimpse the eternal God. What a wonderful, wonderful world we have been given. What a wonderful God we have. That much eternal love can be packed into every moment we have on this planet. Just as little cardboard tweenie was well served in the hands of New Yorkers. You know, she didn't lose a single one of these. Not a single one was lost or stolen or damaged. Not a single one on the streets of New York. Now, if that can be tweenie, that can be all of us. In a crazy world, we can trust in the kindness of strangers and the love that God has planted in them. And beyond that, everyone else lost out there, well, we know for a fact they can trust in us, can't they? Amen.